In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand, I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues Etc. Find out the benefits of becoming an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron on the Support Donate page at issuesetc.org. Click the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation: Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc., and you.
When it comes to children who don't have the wherewithal to determine their own bedtimes, their own sugar intake, no, children absolutely have a right to have their bodies protected.
If science is not humble in the sense that it recognizes the profound limits of its own knowledge and the profound limits of what it can know. Once science loses that humility, then it becomes dangerous.
We have to pretend in all of these ways because what we really want is what we want. I don't want to have a kid. Of course, I've already engaged in unreality because I pretended that what I was doing was not the child-making thing.
At the end of the day, the missional church can say, yes, we've made disciples, but no, actually they haven't. They've just manipulated the Bible for the purpose of having people achieve very narcissistic and self-focused goals in their life.
This is Joel from Nebraska, and vocal musicians love Issues Etc. A mighty fortress is our God, a trusty shield and weapon. He helps us.
You are raised in a large Roman Catholic family. You have at the very center of your family life the local church, the local parish there. You enter the priesthood and begin to serve as a parish priest. You love your church, but you're starting to have doubts about, well, first of all, the system of salvation that you've been taught your entire life, that salvation is not yours. It's not assured at you by Jesus' death and resurrection. It's something that you must strive for. And you wonder, is it possible that what I've been taught might not be exactly what the Bible teaches when it comes to salvation and many other things? Greetings and welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live on this Thursday afternoon, the 29th of October. It's Issues Etc. Reformation Week. Our theme is Paths to Lutheranism. We're going to be talking about the path from Roman Catholicism to Lutheranism. Pastor George Murdaugh will be our guest. A little bit later, we'll be studying the church triumphant hymn, Sing with All the Saints in Glory. Pastor Will Whedon of The Word of the Lord Endures Forever will be our guest. Joining us for our Paths to Lutheranism series during this Issues Etc. Reformation Week, we're going to talk about Roman Catholicism and how one goes from the Roman priesthood to a Lutheran pastor. Pastor George Murdaugh joins us. He's a former Roman Catholic priest and pastor of Prince of Peace Lutheran Church in Douglasville, Georgia. Pastor Murdaugh, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you.
You grew up in a large Roman Catholic family. How important was the church in your family's life?
Well, it was extremely important because of the location that I grew up, which was in the South, which had a lot of bias and prejudice against Roman Catholicism. In fact, in a small town near our farm, there was only one Catholic family, and then ourselves, and then we all attended the same church in the same county. There's only one Catholic church in the county, and that's the one we attended. There were others from other towns and stuff that went to that main town. But yeah, it was very, very important in forming our religious life because of the bias and prejudice against Roman Catholicism. I remember when Kennedy was running for president, a lot of propaganda in the South about how the Pope was going to take over the presidency in the United States. So that's the way we grew up.
What were you taught to believe about your salvation as a Roman Catholic?
One of the things that I taught about our salvation is that you needed to seek a life of perfection, that salvation was not automatic, that it had to be something that you had to work for through forming yourself as best you could into a life of religious or church perfection, and that many people didn't make that. It was very hard to do. So the religious life, of course, was one of the best ways to do that. So we were taught to believe that it was difficult to get to heaven, and that you had to do a lot of supererogation in the faith in order to get there.
How did you first consider entering the priesthood?
Actually, I really felt called by God to follow him from a very early age. I really believe God had his hand on me from a very, very early age. So I would say at the age of 7 or 8, I was pretty much convinced that I was going to enter the religious life in some way or another within Roman Catholicism. And so, yeah, it was. I really never considered anything else. And, of course, my family formed me in that way, and in a sense, I was led that way. That was encouraged in me, and I don't regret that. I gained a lot of perspective from that life.
Talk about your education in Roman Catholic schools and seminary.
Well, our parish did not have a school when I was in elementary school. They did not actually start a school at that parish, a very small Catholic parish. They were eventually able to start a small school. And so in the seventh grade level, middle school, I joined at the school. They had a seventh grade. It was me and one other fellow, one other member of the church, young man, joined that. And then I was in Catholic school from then on. It's interesting that boy that entered with me, we're still friends today, to this day. But yeah, he and I then went all the way through Catholic high school together, and then I went on to seminary after that.
What was life like for you as a Roman Catholic priest?
I had a very busy life. It was very different from the seminary. I went to a monastic seminary, in which although it was run by the Diocese of Dallas, nonetheless, we followed a religious order. So the order of the day for us, from the time I entered that, and I was in there for 7 years, was according to the Benedictine rule. So the rule of St. Benedict. So I would say that we had a very, very formed life of prayer, work, and studies, very regimented life. And once ordained and sent to your respective dioceses, I was very, very busy. I was assigned as a secondary school teacher at the same high school that I attended, and was assigned as a parish visitor by the bishop. My life actually mirrors Luther's pretty closely. I was then made a parish visitor by the bishop. I taught New Testament in the high school, and I was also an associate pastor at a local parish. So I had an extremely, extremely busy life, just literally eating and drinking the ministry day in and day out.
How long were you a Roman Catholic priest?
I was actually a Roman Catholic minister for 5 years.
You say that Roman Catholic teaching of piety did not solve the sin problem in your life. What do you mean by that?
Well, of course, there's no coming to salvation if you're a sinner. Sinners don't get saved if you remain a sinner. And the popular piety of the Catholic Church is that, you're a sinner and you have to confess constantly and you have to live the life of perfection and all of that kind of thing in order to win your salvation. But somehow the problem of sin never gets solved is simply something that we have to deal with from the original sin, which broke our nature. That nature cannot be repaired. And since that nature cannot be repaired, it constantly has to be, if you will, reconstructed or repaired, since it can't be actually overturned by any work. Direct work of God or Christ is something we have to do. And so there was never any sense that you were ever completely free from sin. This same struggle Luther had, of course. I didn't read about Luther until years later, of course, but I read Baden's book, and then I forget the name, Krauss or something, wrote a rather extensive volume. Those books I read, and I understood that his struggles and mine really did mirror each other.
When and how did doubts about the teaching of the Roman Church begin to enter your mind?
Actually, it was because of Scripture. It was because I was assigned to teach the New Testament in the secondary school, and it was a complete course. It was a 2-semester course each year for the students I was teaching and answering their questions and that sort of thing. And then as I was assigned by the bishop to teach in the congregations on several different studies from Scripture. I remember teaching Matthew and Genesis, I think, Genesis 1 through 11, the primordial history, and then teaching Matthew in the parishes, which I would travel around to do that. And so the deeper I got into Scripture, the less and less I realized that there's a lot in Scripture that the church seems to, the RCC seems to be breaking as well as adding to, or, and then the whole idea of magisterium having the last say over what Scripture says, and then also the tradition as having the same value. And all of this was just, you know, rolling around in me all the time while I'm trying to figure out how to get saved, if you understand what I'm saying.
You say that Jesus' words in Mark chapter 7, verses 7 through 9 hit home to you. What are they and how did they hit home?
Well, you know, again, I was already struggling with, especially in the parish, when I was trying to really address some difficult issues that parishioners had, in which grace was really the only answer. But I, you know, I had to keep it somehow within the context of the penitentiary of the Roman Catholic Church. And I found that difficult. And people were, you know, the confessional was really not a time to do counseling, and yet people wouldn't come for counseling. So it was difficult for me. And so I had all of this baggage on top of what I wanted to do to just bring God's grace and mercy and true forgiveness into people's lives. So as I was reading, I read Scripture constantly. Obviously, having to teach New Testament, I was always in the Scriptures reading something. And so one day, as I was reading Mark 7 to 9, and Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees, speaking to the church hierarchy of that day, if you will, at least that's how I understood it. And it said, in vain do you worship me, which he was quoting Scripture, he was quoting the Old Testament, teaching his doctrines, commandments of men. And he says, you leave the commands of God and you hold on to your own traditions. And I really felt strongly that that's what was going on. And then he said, you have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to establish your tradition. And I felt like that's what was going on in my life. And I said, I'm going to listen to Jesus. I'm not going to listen to popes and councils anymore.
What teachings in particular, as you recall, of Roman Catholicism did you discover that were contrary to Scripture?
Well, I would say the main ones was what has turned into, if you will, Mare Latria and Ave Latria, which is the worship of Mary and the saints. Now, although they don't call it worship, you would be hard-pressed if you look at the devotional material that is published for St. Mary and the other saints. When you actually read the prayers and the litanies and the literature for that, they're clearly worshipped. For instance, Mary was given names, titles, such as Queen of Heaven, all of these kinds of names that are straight out of paganism. I mean, they're not anywhere even considered to be valid. There's nothing in Scripture even suggested. And the intercessory work of saints somehow in the lives of the Christian to bring us into a closer relationship with God, that is clearly from Romans chapter 8, the work of Jesus Christ. Christ who died and more than that was raised from the dead is at the right hand of the Father also interceding for us. And in Hebrews it says we have no other intercessor between God and man except the man Jesus Christ. So clearly that was a very difficult because within the parochial context that I was in, lively devotion to Mary and the festivals, the different required festivals and that sort of thing were part and parcel of my ministry. And I was hard to reconcile that coming to an idea that Jesus Christ is the sole mediator. So that was a difficulty. And the other is the difficulty of the Pope having certain reserved sins. So there are certain sins within Roman Catholicism that only the bishop of the local diocese or the Pope can forgive. Well, there's nowhere in Scripture. Jesus sent out his 12 disciples to cast out demons and raise the dead. He gave them authority to do that. Paul preached about the authority of those that are put into the office of presbyter and also episcopal to be able to exercise the ministry of reconciliation completely and totally within their context. That was a difficult issue for me. That was a real breaker for me in one sense because I had one particular parishioner that was suffering so from what was referred to as a reserved sin. It broke my heart to see how much she suffered because of something that she could not be relieved of because of my, I had no ministry to relieve her of. And that tore at my heart. I said, this is no way Christ intends me to carry out my ministry.
Pastor George Murdaugh is our guest. He's a former Roman Catholic priest. His path to Lutheranism from Roman Catholicism is the subject of our conversation on this Issues Etc. Reformation Week. When we come back, how did he end up leaving the priesthood? During a global pandemic, how can we find comfort in the hymn, From God Can Nothing Move Me? You'll find the answer in Pastor Will Whedon's column on Lutheran Dirges and Such in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, rapper Flame details his journey from Bapticostal and Reformed Baptist Calvinism to confessional Lutheranism. The free online Issues Etc. journal.
This fallen creation is bested by tornado, hurricane, flood, pandemic, and more. LCMS Disaster Response helps our congregations, their pastors, and other church workers to reach out to their members and neighbors with mercy which flows from Christ's altar. We offer quality volunteer training, help for congregational readiness and response, and disaster grant funding. To learn more, visit lcms.org/disaster. That's lcms.org/disaster.
Evangelical and Catholic. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Holy Cross Lutheran Church, Moline, Illinois, invites you to join us in receiving the Lord's gifts in word and sacrament. Sunday services are at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m., with Bible class and Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. We are located in the Quad Cities at 4107 21st Avenue, Moline, Illinois. Welcome in the name of our Lord.
The seasons are changing, the weather cooling, and it's almost time to commemorate All Saints' Day and the Reformation. That means it's the perfect time of year to celebrate our faithful pastors. Ad Crucem has an excellent selection of gifts for clergy. Come and see our pictorial crucifixes, Christmons, posters, art, greeting cards, wooden plaques, or, if you can't decide your favorite, purchase a gift card of any denomination. Visit adcrucem.com. That's adcrucem.com.
Thanks to Dean in Ames, Iowa, Jennifer in Westfield, Indiana, and Ron in Donovan, Missouri, for renewing their membership in the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. It's a faithful group of listeners who pledge to financially support this worldwide outreach monthly or annually. Learn more about how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron on the support donate page at issuesetc.org or by giving us a call, 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. We're talking about Pastor George Murdaugh's path to Lutheranism from Roman Catholicism. He's a former Roman Catholic priest and pastor of Prince of Peace Lutheran Church in Douglasville, Georgia. Pastor Murdaugh, how did you leave the priesthood?
Actually, I resigned. Yeah, it was pretty simple. I just wrote a letter of resignation to the bishop. That's how I left.
Why did you gravitate toward Lutheranism?
Well, a year after I resigned, I married, and my wife and I moved to Baton Rouge, Louisiana, because we were going to go to graduate school at LSU. And so I entered the graduate program at LSU and then got a teaching position at a public high school in Livingston Parish, Louisiana. So we began looking for a church there, and near where we lived was Trinity Lutheran Church. And one day, some members of that church came to visit us with the evangelism explosion kind of thing. And they came to visit. My wife was at work, but I was at home. So they invited me to come to Trinity, and I did. And so my wife and I really found a church home there right away. We took instructions from the pastor there, and then the pastor, unbeknownst to me, was vice president of the Southern District, suggested that I might want to consider the ministerium of the LCMS, which I had not considered, but I thought about that. It had already been clear that I had no life in Roman Catholicism, so I was invited by him, the pastor of Trinity, to meet with the district president at that time, with whom my wife and I became very good friends, of course, over the years. But went to St. Louis and interviewed with the colloquy committee and was immediately accepted at Concordia St. Louis.
How did your family react when you informed them that you were leaving the Roman Catholic Church?
Actually, it was fairly positive. There was not any great angst amongst them. They were those that were, you know, solidly ensconced in Roman Catholicism and in the piety of Catholicism were somewhat befuddled by it and, I guess, resistant. But no, I had three of my siblings at my installation and ordination to the LCMS. You know, and over the years, we've had a fantastic relationship. So it's not been that three of my eight siblings are evangelicals. So they understand Lutheranism and evangelicalism enough to know that it's biblical. And so, yeah, there was not an issue with that. Not much of a problem with that.
Finally, what did you find in the Lutheran confessions in church that was missing in Roman Catholic teaching?
Well, I would say that, of course, what was missing there is the pure gospel. Gospel as preached in Romans 8, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The idea that we're saved by grace through faith, and it's a gift of God, not our works, and that we're created in Christ Jesus to do the things that God has prepared for us to do, and the kinds of things that made it clear that one who comes to a relationship with Jesus Christ, a la John 3:16, who believe on him as the light of the world, and who receives the Holy Spirit and says Jesus is Lord, that for that person, salvation is a matter of a gift from God, which is the pure work of righteousness for the sake of Christ. There is nothing can be added to that. The cross and crucifixion of Christ is not just a help by which we can be perfected, but it is in fact what perfects us. For those of us who believe in the righteousness of Christ, as Paul says, to put on Christ's righteousness. And so that was completely missing. I had never heard of that kind of thing before. I'd never thought about that. In my training, we had nothing. We learned of nothing of the Reformation other than the fact that Luther was trying to destroy the Catholic Church. You know, we were not even allowed to read Exsurgi Domine, which was a condemnation of Luther, nor the Confutation. So we didn't read any of that stuff. It was just that he was a heretic, and you don't read heretics or pay any attention to them. And so the Augsburg Confession and the Apology and of course, the treatise on the power and promise of the Pope, which comes after the small cause articles, those were all very enlightening for me, which, of course, I read as a Lutheran when I became a Lutheran. I had not read those before. But confessions, to me, made it very, very clear that what was set aside as one would refer to, I would imagine, as popular piety of Roman Catholicism, with its certain Marian and saint festivals and doctrines and that sort of thing, was actually a insulation from the real gospel, the true gospel, and the true effect of reconciliation through Christ in God, as Paul brings it out somewhat in Corinthians. So to me, all that was really missing in the life of faith in me was being filled up with the Word of God. So that pretty much solidified it altogether for me.
Pastor George Murdaugh is a former Roman Catholic priest. He is pastor of Prince of Peace Lutheran Church in Douglasville, Georgia. Pastor Murdaugh, thank you very much for your time.
Okay, thank you, Tom. Thank you.
We'll be studying the Church Triumphant hymn, Sing with All the Saints in Glory, with Pastor Will Whedon, host of The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, right after this. What's the relationship between the Book of Proverbs and the Ten Commandments? Find out with the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October, Provoking Proverbs, Wisdom, and the Ten Commandments. It's a new 10-lesson Bible study produced by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or read an excerpt of Provoking Proverbs at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October, Provoking Proverbs, Wisdom, and the Ten Commandments. 1-800-325-3040.
The epistle to the Galatians is the epistle I love the most, which I have taken as my wife. It is my Katie von Bora. Those were Martin Luther's words about Paul's letter to the Galatians. It was his beloved epistle, and he wrote some of his best commentaries on it. Read the October issue of the Lutheran Witness, Galatians and the Reformation to learn more, witness.lcms.org to learn about it and how to subscribe. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective. witness.lcms.org.
Many educational institutions are governed by the whims of culture and are increasingly hostile to the Word of God. In contrast, Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas, provides classical Lutheran education rooted in God's Word for students preschool through grade 12. Simply put, we equip students to stand firm in the faith through solid education focused on wisdom and virtue. We offer in-person instruction as well as live online classes for remote learning. To learn more, visit flsplano.org, flsplano.org.
Is your school or homeschool ready to take the next step in teaching students with learning challenges? We can help. The Simply Classical curriculum, voted number one for special learners, is available from Memoria Press for students with autism, learning disabilities, or Down syndrome. We provide everything you need for a full year. Use promo code LPR21 at simplyclassical.com. Simplyclassical.com.
Grace, faith, scripture, and Christ alone. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. guest, Dr. Ben Mays of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Here's what Martin Luther says about the pastoral office. My pastor is practicing the virtue that increases God's kingdom, fills heaven with saints, plunders hell, robs the devil, wards off death, represses sin, preserves peace and unity, and plants all kinds of virtue in the people. In a word, he is making a new world. He builds not a poor temporary house, but an eternal and beautiful paradise in which God himself is glad to dwell. We are calling good men to step up. Come to Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Learn more about studying for the vocation of pastor at ctsfw.edu or call 1-800-481-2155, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.